Welcome to Minute Impossible. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to investigate with us the Mission Impossible franchise one minute at a time. I'm Jonathan.
I'm Chris.
I'm Niall from Bat Minute.
And I am John, also from Bat Minute.
Hey, we got the Batmans here today. Welcome,
hey.
Gentlemen.
Hey, well,
we're here
very
to talk
to
about
here.
Nipples, because apparently that's what you have to talk about when it's Batman.
Well, there is.
Yeah, well, you know what? There's been very little nipple talk in this movie so far.
I'm surprised because there is a certain character in this movie.
Oh yes,
who refuses
who
to
loves
wear a bra.
Not who loves showing her nipples. Yes,
I think it
does happen a lot.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't come up last week because they were there.
You couldn't miss
We're trying
them.
To be gentlemen, Chris.
I don't know what that's about.
We're trying not to be just hack guys with beards talking
I
about
I've thrown out that gentleman thing a while ago, so I'm good.
Nipples.
There is a very prominent nipple later in the week that I was like, oh, there must be reference in this because I couldn't take my eye off it. But
all right,
we'll get to
before
that.
You start, well, okay, before we get to nipple talk, I have to introduce you guys. So okay. Let me introduce you real quick. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts with this week's first guest from around the pond, across the pond, and one half of the Bat Minute 89 podcast, Niall McGowan.
Ooh, yeah, Niall McGowan in the big time.
No one will ever know I said it wrong because I'll edit that part out. And our other guest, since they're a match set, a dynamic duo, if you will, just know we're chuffed to bits for our other guest. Doff your cap for the world's greatest detective, John Parker.
I got two words for you. Ethan Hunt.
Those are two words. Thanks. Niall and John, welcome to the podcast. We got you from across the pond. We made you get up at 2 o'clock in the morning because that's the only time we record. Is late. These guys are a great podcast. If you're not listening to Batman at 89, it's awesome. It's all of the Michael Keaton movies right now. They're on the second one. Chris and I were actually on for the second one.
Yeah.
Dark Knight Returns. Dark Knight Returns. Jeez. Batman Returns.
How dare you?
How
dare you?
So yeah, you guys should definitely listen to their podcast. And if you do know them, we're excited to have you on this entire week.
Well, thank you very much. If people do know us, I feel sorry for them. But yeah.
You just see a drastic drop in your downloads this week of people like, oh, no, I've been there. I've rode that.
Oh, that happens every week once we start. It's all downhill. That's all whatever it is. It's always downhill from there. Well, welcome, guys. We're on minute 56, and I'm pulling up my notes and vamping. Minute 56 begins with Naya slipping the envelope in Ambrose's right jacket pocket.
Right jacket pocket. Right.
And ends with a special announcement. From your friends at BioSite.
Oh, God.
BioSite.
That's the one thing I'm looking for. Like, get to that because it's like it's a little Brendy G, Brendan Gleeson, back from my home country. Like, oh, there he is, I'm so happy. I've never had an opportunity to talk about Brendan Gleeson before.
That's totally why you're on. It's not in any way just a happy accident that happened.
It was all planned out.
It's all planned. I'm like, where's everyone from? And I need to get someone that from the same country they're from to be on with them.
Well, all Irish people know each other, right?
Yep.
Yeah. 100%, yeah.
And Naya's English, so it all works out.
Perfect.
Dandy Newton's English, sort of. Well, she is English not by birth, but by whatever. Country.
I did not know that she wasn't by birth. I just assume she's English. We claim her.
Yeah, you do. I mean, she is English, but she literally moved there from like Africa, like 2 years into her life. So she married a Brit.
That counts.
Her dad is a Brit. Excuse
plus,
me.
You are part Scottish as well, John. So you've got Dougray Scott. Dougray Scott, Scottish.
Yes.
So you got him right there.
That is a hell
I'm
of a
I'm part
name.
Scottish too. I just don't live there. I'm the part that doesn't live there. That's my part. But yeah, welcome guys. And yeah, let's get into this minute. Naya picks the winner of the race again.
I keep thinking you're talking to me. I'm like, he's mispronouncing my name again. What the hell's going on? Like, it's Naya.
No, your name's not Naya. It's Niall.
I have to admit.
It's Neil. It's Neil spelled wrong. We all know it.
I've watched this movie twice now. And both times, it was just like Thandie Newton, Dougray Scott. Tom Cruise. I was like, I don't memorize any character names. It took me 7 movies to be like, oh, Simon Pegg is called a different thing in this one now. But he's not. But this one in particular, particularly because the high turnover for most of the Mission Impossible movies. It's like, you don't need to learn the character names. Like, you're not going to be seeing them again.
IMF has a high turnover, I think, in their HR. It must be insane.
Yeah.
Yep. And then Simon Pegg finally joins, and we've got, you know, Benji for the rest of the movies.
That's the thing.
Does Luther come back then? Because I have not seen any of them past this. This was the last one I saw, and I haven't seen it in years until you invited me on. So
that's good, because that's kind of where a lot of guests were with this one especially. Now, some of them have seen more recent ones, but this is my least watched one.
Oh. This is much like a horse race. They fell at the second hurdle of the movie. They got to the second movie, and they're like, forget about this franchise.
Yeah, John's like, I'm out.
Yeah.
This is stupid.
But it's weird you say that, though, because, of course, this one was huge it came out. Brilliant. I remember the marketing. I had the soundtrack. Because, unfortunately, I liked Limp Bizkit.
That, you know what? No one said that yet. No one has said, unfortunately, I like Limp Bizkit.
That's a first.
I don't anymore. Don't get me wrong. I was a stupid teenager.
He used to say, because most people come on going like, hell yeah, I love Limp Bizkit.
Yeah, normally we have to. Well, the only person that's Dave Palace is the only person that comes on and says he likes Limp Bizkit.
That tracks. That makes sense to me.
For Dave Palace. Yeah. That's like, as soon as you said that, I was like, of course he does. Of course he does.
But no one else says, I'm sorry. And I appreciate that, John. I appreciate your frankness.
Yeah, it was an unfortunate time for everyone.
It was. It was a dark time. It was right before, it was pre 9/11. We were we're not a good people at that point.
I mean, I blame Limp Bizkit for the Fast and the Furious trend. So, you know,
You blame the band,
because the music was so big and they used to be on their music, and it was too much, you know.
Yeah, well, because the first movie was there weren't any
exactly
you know,
it was,
famous
it
people
was,
in that
it
movie.
Was all fairly new back then.
So, Thandi, Naya. Now I say Naya, I'm not saying Niall. Naya screws up even after she was very mouthy about the fact that she would not screw up and put it and take it out of his left jacket pocket. She put it back in his right jacket pocket. Not only did she mess up, Ambrose noticed.
Mm. Oh, yeah. That was interesting to me. He noticed that immediately. And I like the way he plays it, because he could react there, but he plays a long game, this guy. He knows what he's doing.
So you're saying you're a Dogre Scott fan?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Obviously, I don't agree with what he's up to here, but he's quite admirable in some ways. You want to utilize his powers for good.
For a second there, I thought you meant I don't agree with Dougray Scott in general. As a person, as an actor, I'm
is he an anti-vaxxer? What is he? Like, is he like have some horrible thing I should know about?
I have to say, like, I'm more impressed, though. Like, so, Dougray Scott. If he notices this, like, is it that he notices like the sudden weight on his right side, or is he like when he goes out, you know, to the shops or whatever? Does he always instantly know which like pocket his keys are in and stuff? Because every time I'm like, where the hell are they? What's going on? What? I would never know which pocket anything. I know my phone is always in my right one because that's for playing podcasts. So I'm not like I have that by my right hand. But everything else is like my freaking keys could be in a top left breast pocket. I don't know why they would be there, but they're there sometimes. But the fact that he knows where this thing is, which pocket he has this thing in, is like that's impressive. That's an impressive skill. That's almost would Ethan Hunt know which pocket he kept his stuff in?
No. Oh, yeah, probably.
Ethan Hunt's like Batman at this point. He is super prepared. This movie begins the what I had talked about in the first season, which was the conversion from every man to Batman that Ethan Hunt goes through. And now he always is prepared for every situation, basically like Batman. He has a utility belt of whatever he needs. He always has thought of it beforehand and worked two steps ahead.
That was my favorite thing of watching this, was just how stupidly over the top prepared he is. Because like I thoroughly enjoyed how this is clearly a world that's post-face-off. Like, in the world of these films, people swapping faces out on the fly, in the blink of an eye, it's old and boring now. It's passé. Everybody does it. It's not special. It's, oh, yeah, another face swap, whatever.
The face swap, though, is like, I've learned only recently having watched all the movie, but like that's like a standard for the Mission Impossible movies. Like, there has to be a big, like, which scene's going to have someone wearing that mask? Like, when's it going to come?
I think the most recent one, Fallout... Niall, have you seen Fallout?
Yeah, I'm up to date now.
Yeah, I mean, But you had seen everything recently. You had not been you had not followed these movies as they came out over the years. You've just recently started, right?
Yeah. It was only because of like, oh, I know I'll be going on this show at some point. I better – like I could have had the option to just go in completely unprepared. I was like, nah, I'd rather – because I understood from people like, oh, they got really, really good. And I was like, I don't believe that. But then I did. I watched them all and I was like, first two, wasn't that impressed. Third one, I was like, yeah, it's all right. Fourth one, I loved. And then the final two are like, oh, these are pretty solid. So, I'm on board now with the franchise.
Awesome. Sold them to me.
But now we got to talk John into it.
Oh yeah, you should totally. Particularly Ghost Protocol really was the one I was like, oh, I get this now. This is I'm 100% on board for all of this.
I tell people go see Fallout even. Even though you don't know a lot about you, it doesn't matter if you have all the background. You'll get it. Like it's not like it's like, well, who the hell's this guy? It doesn't really matter.
I did. I watched Fallout with people who I think they had seen Rogue Nation maybe when it came out, but they didn't know. They didn't have any memory of it. So I literally, as I was going, I had to just go like that guy in the straitjacket. He was the main villain from the other movie.
That would be the only thing you'd have to explain, right?
It was that, and then Rebecca Ferguson showed up. I was like, yeah, she was embroiled with him, so they've got a vendetta, and she also knows Ethan Hunt. There you go. Like, right. That's all you need to know. You're instantly caught up with everything that was happening.
I think it's pretty. I think they do a pretty good job of setting up some of that in it. But I think I think you do need to see the previous movie for it to work 100%.
Okay. Well, then what you really need is 4, 5, 6 would get you into the main current. I mean, because the difference in timeline between the first one and the fourth one. When did Ghost Protocol come out?
It's like 2011, I think, or 2010.
So that's almost, it's 14 years after the first one, John. So it's not like it even, like, they're not the same movie.
Mm.
They're not even the same character at this point. It's just, you know, that much time. The first one, there was 4 years between the first one and the second one, and then another 4 years between the second and third one. Now they do them more often.
I will say, if you, from the end of this movie, not to get into spoilers, if you were invested in the relationship of Thandie Newton and Ethan Hunt, don't be, because she ain't coming back.
It will never pay off. Nope, she's best friends with, we said it last week, and we say it every week, she's best friends with Tom Cruise's ex, so it's just not going to happen. She will not, she and Nicole Kidman are friends, so there will never be her, unless literally they do some Ethan Hunt in the next movie is like stepping down and they're literally doing a cavalcade of all the old people coming back like a Fast and Furious style. Just have everybody show up.
I want that. And I don't even know who half of them are. Please.
No, I want that too. But this is a good opportunity also to ask you guys, because in your realm, Ambrose, he is a different kind of, we'll get to Domhnall Gleeson. Don't worry now. Don't worry. We'll talk about him.
He's in the rest of the other episodes.
We've got him all week. One thing I was wondering, what things do you know him from as an actor that an American might not know him from?
Ooh. I mean, Dougray Scott.
Yes.
Okay.
That was a very bad sentence I said. What I was basically trying to say was, what has Dougray Scott been in that someone from Scotland, Ireland, England, Europe, you guys sometimes have a different sphere of influence when it comes to movies and TV shows. What do you guys know him best from?
Well, I actually mostly know him from things post this. Like, the thing is, I know you guys will definitely have talked about it, but his legacy to me is the guy who was almost Wolverine, basically.
Right,
like,
yeah.
That's going to be him and Stuart Townsend. They're just going to be sitting around commiserating like, people come up like, hey, weren't you supposed to be in that thing? Like, yes, I was supposed to be in a thing. But to me, like, even now looking at the floppy hair, I'm like, oh, yeah, I can imagine them going up into the Wolverine points and stuff. I've always been curious because I don't think I saw him for like a couple of years. I was aware that he was in this movie. I knew him from like it popped up in TV shows and stuff. And then I remember seeing him in an episode of Doctor Who where he popped in. It was like in the Matt Smith era. So it's been like a good like 13, 14 years since this came out.
Oh, what was he in that? I don't remember him, but that doesn't mean, I mean, I loved the Matt Smith era. What was he?
An episode with him and the Doctor and Clara go to like a house that's run by Dougray Scott and some woman, and it's supposed to be haunted. And then there's a whole big thing where the Doctor's transported to this different weird kind of like forest planet or something. And he actually is like the creature's trying to get in his head. And he actually is terrified and stuff like that.
Oh, okay. I'm going to have to go back and rewatch that one. I completely missed that that was Doug Gray Scott.
Yeah. Well, that was my thing. Because I watched it and I was like, oh, he looks way, way older. Like to the point where like, oh my God. Like he's I've seen him since where I think they kind of did him up to look a bit older. But at the time, it's like, oh my God. Like he really... The years have not treated this guy well, considering it's like, oh, I remember him being kind of like this buff, handsome guy.
Yeah, no, he looks like, good in, it's a terrible, terrible program, but the Netflix show, Hemlock Grove, he's in that, and he looks decent. That's pretty recent.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think they must have, but at the time, a spark to my mind was like, if he had, I thought like, if he had genuinely gotten that old looking, had he actually been cast as Wolverine? Because now Hugh Jackman still looks incredible. Like, he just looks like... If you told me Hugh Jackman was 35, I'd be like, yep, no, yeah, I totally buy that.
But yeah, I'm looking at a picture of him. He's got kind of a Billy Crudup look. He's, like, yeah, he's aged. Like, his neck's aged and his forehead's aged. I mean, he's still a good-looking dude. He just... He does look old. He does look older than if you told me he's... Hugh Jackman may be the same age or older than him.
Yeah.
And he looks... His face looks... Amazing.
But I was just wondering, though, would he have, would Dougray Scott, would he look as good as Hugh Jackman does now? Had he taken that
Jackman
part?
Money?
Oh, yeah, no, probably not.
Yeah, or would he have been like, I need to maintain my, like, really make sure I look the best I possibly can because this character is supposed to be ageless and whatnot?
I got a feeling that the X-Men films wouldn't be going still if Dougray Scott was Wolverine.
Yeah, that's a good point, really. Yeah.
I don't know. I've seen him in. I obviously missed him in Doctor Who, so his performance didn't stand out enough for me to even recognize him. That's not good. Mm. But I mean, in this movie alone, I was like, I really feel like I don't like he's not menacing in this movie. He's just creepy.
Mm. He's very creepy.
And I don't know if that again that's the script or if that's his take on it. So this is basically my only and probably a lot of Americans' only Dougray Scott.
Yeah,
I think this and Ever After were the two things that really got him in America. Because I know a lot of people do know him from Ever After here in America, but that was, you know, like a year or two before this film.
So. But he's not a name. Like, if you said Dougray Scott to most people, they're like, I don't know what you know.
And I know he was on Desperate Housewives as well for like a season. So
I think I'm a huge Desperate Housewives fan, so how did I miss him?
Exactly.
They're the only things I really know him from, I think. I mean, he was on some episodes of, I won't recommend it, it's not very good, a 90s show that we had here, Soldier Soldier. Which is like a kind of soapy drama about soldiers.
But that does not get a John Parker recommend. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no. No, 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 no. It's the kind of thing my mum would watch it. You know.
I gotcha.
And I was forced into watching it. And he was on that for a little bit. Like, I don't know, like a series of it. Or a season. Do you want me to speak American? A season of it.
A Soldier Soldier, if I remember correctly, was one of those things. I think we would have been about the age when that was on. Where, like, I think it might have been on, like, a Sunday evening at 8 p.m. or 9 p.m. Yeah. So you're basically...
Oh, so it was like your MASH.
Yeah.
Because like, our MASH, for me, I was too young to probably enjoy it. And I thought it was the most drab show ever created.
But it's also
kind of... People are like, it's so funny and so biting. And I'm like, it's boring. It's not good.
But this though, just has, like, that and, like, there's another show called, like, Heartbeat that was around the same time. Where it has this era of, like, dread about it because it was on like Sunday evenings when you're a small kid, so you knew Monday morning it was right around the corner and you're gonna get as soon as Soldier Soldier's over, you're going to bed and then you get up
fun
and you
is
got
over
a whole week of school and you're like, oh god damn it. I actually also had a another show I associate with that kind of thing, and now it's like obviously, you know, appropriately demonized, but every year the weekend before the school year would start, a new season of The Cosby Mysteries would come on British TV. So I always associate The Cosby Mysteries with bad times. It's like, oh no, Cosby's Mysteries is back.
That's appropriate now.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people associate The Cosby Mysteries with the bad time.
But I love his relationship with Hugh, though. And I wonder if there's a little bit of a genuine tension between the two of them. Because this Dougray Scott's, you know, Ambrose as a character... It's totally a character that Richard Roxburgh could play. Like that, most films, he would be playing that part. So I wonder if he's kind of sitting with a real, like, this guy's stolen my part. Like, I should be doing.
Yeah, I mean, I think it would have been more interesting with Richard as Ambrose as opposed to Dougray.
Because Richard Roxburgh is mostly known from the one good thing in Van Helsing was his performance as Dracula. And yeah. So, like, I kind of associate, I remember in Moulin Rouge as well, like, very flamboyant bad guy. So I know he can do big villainy. So him in that part would have been like, well, you never know. This could have been... I can imagine him doing the part more, like, and coming off as more of a sinister presence, really. But
well, I'm more interested in his character anyway in this movie. I think Stamp is the most interesting person.
Well, fair enough.
Because he has a backstory that we don't know. We think he's in love with Dougray Scott.
Yeah.
I got that vibe. Thank God you said that.
Everyone's got that vibe. He is playing it like that. We think he's... Yeah. It was so bizarre because they just don't ever talk about it. So you're like, what is happening?
This whole movie I found very... There was a lot of close intimacy. It was almost an erotic film, I found.
Yeah, well, between those two, anytime those two are in a scene, you're like, I can feel heat between the actors.
Yeah.
That would have been an interesting twist. I think they should have been bold enough to go with that.
Oh, I think we've talked about how much better would this be if they were if he was like bisexual and Stamp like had some sort of weird unrequited love for him.
I think if this film had been made now, it would have been they probably would have done that.
Yeah, why not? Yeah, it would have been awesome. At least then I understand why this character's acting this way. In this movie, I'm like, there's no reason for this to be like this. So I don't know why it's like this. I'm not offended by it. It takes me out of the moment because I'm like, I think he wants to have sex with him.
I think it was that 90s subtlety that used to happen when it came to a gay or a bisexual character. And I think that's what they were.
Well, remember John Woo did that too in Face Off. He has that incest for no reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Remember when that pops up in Face Off and you're like, yeah. What am I watching? What just happened?
The good old John Woo. You always come out of it going, what? In a good way.
Yeah, in a good way. This is a good place we can go into tech of the episode, and we can talk about all the tech in this episode, guys. It's literally two people talking, so this will be fun. Everyone gets to use their imagination. Here we go.
I think there is. I was quite taken by the flashback to year 2000 computer that we get because we do get like him watching the Biosite video.
Yes, didn't really talk about, but I figured that would be the tech of the app for everybody. So
because just at the side of the fact that it has like very quaint like old things like all the little tabs of like press clippings and infomercial and things like that. It's like, I don't know if websites, in recent times, I've never been on an official website for anything because you'd go to the social media page because that's where you're going to get your info anyway. So I'm not even too sure if they would still even have like little tabs of like, this is where you can watch our infomercial and things like that.
Oh, they do. I have to go.
I haven't been to, can you imagine going to Coca-Cola's main website?
Jesus,
what a weird thing. No one does that anymore. No one uses the main websites of large corporations anymore except literally to find a contact info.
If you ever find me going to the Coca-Cola website, just put me down. Just kill me there and then. That's that's a depressing end to my life.
You got to redeem your Coke points. Remember those?
Oh, God.
Like I got that yo-yo, that mid-90s yo-yo. That was the caps, though. You collected the Coca-Cola caps for those.
To be honest, I'm happy you brought up Biosite, though, because... We've moved away from the horse racing because when I saw that horse racing come up, I was worried that this film was about to go into an homage to A View to a Kill.
Oh, my God. Well, yeah, we talked about that early on. We're like, there's horse racing in this. What is up? Why? No one likes the 20-minute section of horse racing in any spy movie.
No, and they always have them. Why?
I think it's because it's posh.
Yeah, that's the only explanation.
And it's like high society.
They have horse racing here in Liverpool. It's quite a big event. Aintree horse racing.
Well, the Grand National, that's where that's held.
Yeah, the Grand National, the biggest race here. But it tends to be people wanting to be posh and fancy but not
oh yeah, it's, they do in America. The people that go to these are scuzzy. They would go to the same people that go to fancy racehorse would go to NASCAR. They just like this because they get to wear a dress and a funny hat.
That's exactly what it is. People just they want the hat. The hat is the key.
In fact, the men want that fancy like a seersucker suit with a little derby hat, and, you know, like the whole thing.
But it never looks right. It always looks like someone who doesn't really know how to dress like that, trying to dress like that.
Looks like somebody from NASCAR putting on a seersucker suit. And you're like, oh, well, they don't really fit in that. Not physically. I don't mean they don't fit in it. They just don't seem like they should be wearing it. Yeah. Like some people, when you're wearing clothes, you're like, that person looks very comfortable in a suit. Mm. Like when you see James Gunn, you're always like, not James Gunn, the other one. The one that's
Tim Gunn.
When you see Tim Gunn in a suit, you're like, that guy was born to wear a suit.
Oh, we call him Paul Feig.
Paul Feig,
he just looks like every Paul time Feig. You see him, like, oh, he is decked out. That guy was poured into those suits.
Yeah. Some people just aren't suit people.
No.
I will say, though, in it might be a dated reference now when this episode actually airs, but like in terms of like old retro websites, have you guys seen the Captain Marvel site that they brought up?
Yeah, I just saw that last night. I thought that was great. They went full 90s with it.
Yeah, like proper old like geosite looking kind of proper like old crappy GIFs and things like that. It's like, oh, no.
Well, hopefully by the time this comes out, that movie will have made $1 billion.
Yeah.
So shout out to Captain Marvel doing really well.
Woo. Shout out to the Marvel movie minute guys who get to Captain Marvel in like
years. Oh my god, 16 years?
Yeah, if that.
They'll have to pass it on to their children.
As I die, you must do this.
And we thought we were going to be doing this for a long time. Those Marvel guys are going to be doing it for a long time.
Yeah.
Long time.
They've literally just, like, that's a lifetime venture now. So it's like, well, there's no
They
no
may just have to have other guys do it. They may just have to come up with like, all right, there's a team of 15 of us and we're all going to do a Marvel movie and we'll just re-record everything at once, but we'll put it out in order.
Hell yeah.
So it'll be a never-ending deluge of Marvel stuff.
I don't know if they could have done, because then you probably would have ended up with too many voices, unless you had like two hosts who did Iron Man and then two different guys who did the Hulk and two other different guys who did Thor and stuff. And then when they get to the Avengers, like maybe not all of them come together, but like one host from each show combines to be like the hosts of the Avengers minute or whatever.
But Chris, what do you think? Tech of the app.
My tech of the app is the ability, whatever they use to make the inside look like it was nighttime as opposed to daytime.
Oh, for that shot?
They shot it. Yeah, because that shot looks like it's nighttime now all of a sudden, or like the sun's going down, but the previous shot of the exterior of the building was bright sunlight. So I don't know what was that, whether it was a cut or what, or just we needed an exterior, but I thought that was a good tech.
I don't know if they're inferring that it's nighttime. It just looks, it does look
darker. It looks nighttime, but it isn't. It's significantly darker.
Yeah, it might just be the tinted windows on the sex dojo that is that house.
That could be it.
Well, he does have a lamp on. You're getting it on. You don't want people peering in.
He does have a lamp on. That lamp, it must be nighttime. Well, actually, the lamp's on, and then it's off in the next shot. When Stamp stands up, it's off. So it's like, forget it. Never mind. But yeah, I also go with the website. I've picked the website every time it's shown up. It's shown up a couple times.
I've got to pick it too. There's nothing else. I mean, binoculars?
No. Hey, we've picked those, but not those. They were like Minute Impossible binoculars.
Oh, yeah.
They were like really cool spy gadgets. Great. That's perfect. On Mondays, we wrap up by letting our guests do their plugs. So you guys are from the same show, so you guys get to wrestle and decide who's going to promote your show today.
Well, I think it'll fall to me because Niall hates doing the plugs and forgets them all.
I don't forget them. I just always have a kind of like, oh yeah, we're just Twitter and Facebook and we're all around the place. You know.
If you do want to hear more of us for some reason or another, we're everywhere. We host the Bat Minute podcast, as we've said. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of these. Just type in Bat Minute. We're everywhere. We don't have an official website. If we make one, we'll make it look 90s. Of course.
Oh yeah, that'd be awesome.
Actually, we really should. 80s. The movies are. Well, 89, the first one.
Yeah.
So then into the 90s. Oh, it's perfect. That's perfect. Niall.
Well, I mean, this website's, I don't know if this is 2000 style website. It feels like more of a 90s website.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's on the cusp, isn't it? I mean, it's early 2000s.
Yeah, because it's got video. I mean, everybody loved video.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what a great feature. Yes.
I do kind of, we should put on a video of like ending with like, oh, at that minute, your minute is our minute's work or something like that, trying to tie it into this.
That'd be nice.
That's a weird thing. His delivery of that line is, he kind of goes from like normal guy to like, when he says like our life's work, it just turns creepy all of a sudden. Yeah. It's like, no, take anyone directing that video and be like, nah, you're coming off. Try to be more like affable and like benevolent instead of sinister. What the hell are you
Less
doing?
Less of an evil villain who's trying to scam people. Yeah.
Yeah.
Niall, can you use your connections to get him? To get Gleason, Domhnall Gleason, not Domhnall. I always say Domhnall Gleason.
Oh, of course. Well, yeah. You know, every Irish mum knows every other Irish mum. So, like, oh, of course.
Awesome. Yeah, because yeah, like, he could do your video for Bat Minute. It'd be awesome.
Oh, yes, in this style. Say to him, we want you to recreate that thing you did all the way back in Mission Impossible.
Go find a hallway, and we need you to walk up, and we will add the website around you. It's not a bad idea.
That's like a Brendan Gleason thing. Like, I think I'm going to be in the new Batman movie. I'm like, nope. Sorry, man. Nope.
Well, you can always find us at the same normal places. Well, I'll do a Niall promo. Hey, just type us in somewhere. Minute Impossible. We're everywhere. MinuteImpossible.com, at Min Impossible on Twitter, MIN Impossible, and at the Impossible Minute Force. Both Niall and John are members of the Impossible Minute Force, so come talk to us about these episodes. And until tomorrow, I've been Jonathan.
I've been Chris.
Oh, I've been Niall.
And I've been the other Jonathan.
Yes. Two Jonathans for the price of one. We've now had three Jonathans on the show.
It's a popular name. I didn't realize, you know.
Yeah. This minute will self-destruct. See you.